Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. As you know, I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm your host. It's like a dream come true for me to be here, to be able to talk to you about our small businesses, mine and yours, to try to learn some things every day and to meet some really cool people like our Brain Trust members. You know, there are over 500 of them right now. We have the largest. You're listening to the show that has amassed the largest community of small business experts in the world, on the planet, in the unit, maybe even in the universe. And Rick Pinion is one of those guys, and Rick's going to be with us in just a few seconds. We're getting him all hooked up, and he's just coming out of makeup. He's been in the green room, and we realized we didn't have his makeup quite right. They're having to touch him up a little bit. I think they're working on the mascara right now. But Rick's an old friend of ours. He's the president of Pinion Financial Services and our financial planning expert in our Brain Trust. And one of the things I know he wants to talk about today is IRAs, but not just IRAs. What you need to make sure you know about your IRA. And I think he's there. Rick, are you there? All right, we're working. All right, we're still working on Rick's makeup there. One of the things that Rick does when he joins us that I'll remind you about is Rick does a little disclaimer thing that he does. And that's what he has to do. He's required to do that basically by law, by securities law. He's required to tell you certain things and that are kind of a disclaimer. And it's because Rick works in the world of securities. He is a securities representative. He's a registered securities representative. And he has to do that because in that world, in that part of the marketplace, full disclosure is the operative term, is the way of life. Full disclosure. You have to know everything. In fact, sometimes you have to know things that could never happen in a million years, but they still tell you that it might happen. And because it could happen in a million in 1 year. And so, whereas you and I work in the world of caveat emptor, which is let the buyer beware. That's the regular marketplace, the securities marketplace, not so much. Rick's with us right now. Rick Pinion, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. It's good to have you here. Tell us, go ahead and give us your disclosure.
Okay. Just want to remind the listeners that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific advice or investment recommendations. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and SunAmerica Securities are not affiliated. And investors should also realize that there's risk in any investment, especially the risk of fluctuation of principal. Thank you.
All right. Well done, Rick. And that's, you know, I think that's educational. When someone is dealing with the securities representative, Rick, and they act like they're not, you know, they're a little over the top in their recommendation. They're a little too aggressive. Maybe they're a little too excited. They're a little too, you know, this can't go wrong, that kind of thing. Isn't that kind of getting away from the full disclosure model?
I would think so. It also depends on, you know, who you're dealing with. For example, if you're dealing with, let's say, an insurance agent or a stockbroker or a registered representative, there's a huge difference between that versus dealing with, a financial planner who's also a registered investment advisor, because a financial planner has what they call a fiduciary responsibility, where in a court of law they're held to a much higher standard called the prudent person rule.
Right. Tell us why being a fiduciary is a bigger deal.
Well, under the 1940 Act, the fiduciary relationship came about, which said that the interest of the clients always have to come first and foremost. So if an investment turns out to be sour, in a court of law, they're going to say, look, you know, you did not do the proper amount of due diligence. You didn't ask the right questions. You didn't hold your client's interest first. Whereas a stockbroker could just throw up his hands and say, you know, I just sold this person an investment.
It was a transaction.
Yeah, transaction-oriented.
It was a transaction. So would it be fair to say that where the agent might have a transactional excuse and not be a fiduciary, his or her company probably is a fiduciary? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the company obviously has an obligation to research the products and services that are being sold.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, they do have a limited control depending on the relationship of the broker. In other words, is that broker
right.
an independent contractor or are they an employee?
But a financial planner like you, for example, not that one's better than the other. You need both and.
Right.
But the thing is a financial planner does have fiduciary. That's an extra level of obligation that you have because you're managing the account. You're not just selling. You're not just making a transaction, right?
Yes, like the difference between a doctor and a nurse.
Yeah, okay. I'll let you. That's a good way to say it. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Rick Pinion. We're going to talk a little bit more about fiduciary. Then we're going to talk about IRAs. I know you're excited about this, so stay tuned. 2010. Game, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion, the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services out of beautiful downtown Bethesda, Maryland, which is hard by to our nation's capital, as you know, as many of you know. And we're talking about something called a fiduciary. We're about to talk about something called an IRA beneficiary. And folks, you know, I want to, you know, Rick, I think I need to warn the folks that you and I are professionals. And so, folks, we're trying to talk about fiduciary and IRA beneficiaries while keeping a radio audience. And, Rick, this is a very dangerous thing. It's not something easy to do. We're professionals, and I just want to encourage the audience not to try this at home. What do you think?
That's right. Don't change the channel
try this at home. Don't try this at home, folks. We're professionals at this, and we've done this many times, even though this is very dangerous. Now, we're talking about fiduciaries, and I just think it's important that a person who's buying securities, who's buying a financial product of any kind, understand what's going on in front of them. Is the person who they're talking to making a transaction, or is there a fiduciary relationship being developed, and that they need to know, not that they should choose one or the other. That's not really the issue. The issue is that they know how when they're being relied upon more to make a quality decision, and when there's somebody on the other side of the desk who's maybe has more responsibility for making quality decisions. What do you think?
Yeah, it all boils down to the concept of advice. In other words, there's certain people that are qualified to give you advice and legally able to do so, and other people that are not qualified are not legally competent to give you investment advice. There's nothing wrong with that. Like Jim said, it depends on who you're dealing with. If I want to have surgery, I go directly to a surgeon. So I'm looking for a person that's going to do that particular operation. I'm not going to go to, say, a general practice doctor to do that.
Should I ask a financial person, whether it be an insurance salesman or a stockbroker or a financial planner, should I ask them where the fiduciary responsibility is? Is it the person sitting in front of me? Is it their manager? Is it the company behind them? Well, should I ask that question?
Well, the question you want to ask, Jim, that's a great question. The question you want to ask that person is, do they have an ADV? That's A like Apple, D like David, V like Victor. If they have an ADV, that discloses everything about them.
What does that stand for?
Advisor.
Okay. Oh, I got you.
It's through the Securities and Exchange Commission that under the 1940 Act that if you hold yourself out as giving advice, you have to give a person an ADV.
Ah.
It tells about your background, your education.
Oh, so it's like a security rep's, I mean, it's like a security professional's curriculum vitae or the resume, that kind of thing.
It's just like a resume.
Uh-huh.
Mine must be about 20 pages long, and every time I sit down with a potential client.
You have to give them that.
Oh, yes.
But now you don't make them read it, do you?
Well, if they have insomnia, it works wonders.
Okay, so but they only have to have it, right? You don't make them read it, right?
That would be
too much. But it is impressive. Rick's ADV, by the way, folks, is very impressive. Rick, let's move over quickly and talk about IRA beneficiaries. This is an important topic. Tell us why you think we need to talk about this.
Well, to me, Jim, when a person saves all their life in an IRA and they have, you know, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars in there, who they put down as their beneficiary is the person that's going to receive all this hard work. And yet many people don't take the time to review these items, and they'll put down inappropriate beneficiary designations. And then when the person passes away or becomes incompetent, it becomes a nightmare to try to untangle it. It also creates fights among family members and just a whole lot of things. It increases taxes, needless delays, attorney's fees, and everything. So
what would cost somebody to, I mean, doesn't a husband put down his wife and vice versa?
Well, people don't make mistakes on purpose, Jim. It's just they don't understand.
What do you think? What is the mistake someone would make in a case like that?
Well, some people put down their estate. In other words, they can't figure out who they're going to put down right away.
Oh, I got you.
So they put their estate down. That drags it through the mud, rather than going to a specific person.
Does the estate does putting down the estate get it into probate?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
You know what probate means?
Mm-hmm.
All the needless delay, expenses, attorney's fees, you name it.
Right. You're going to get to know the courthouse really well, aren't you? your beneficiaries are, anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So we shouldn't put down the estate. We should actually put down a person. But how do we decide who that person is?
Well, I think you made a good point, Jim. Most people, when they put down their spouse as the primary beneficiary, because that's the person that they want to have the money go to. But in case of a simultaneous death, many people will put down either their children as secondary, if they have children, or they'll put down a trust. And in essence, what that does is ricochets the money to the next level down in terms of the beneficiary designations.
And isn't there a handy little term when you give children the beneficiary where you say, to my living children or to my children and their heirs, share and share alike? Isn't share and share alike a good term?
Yeah, that's one term. Also, I'm glad you brought that up, Jim. There's another term we use called prestirpes.
Now, see, I wanted to use that term, but I knew that it sounded better coming out of your mouth.
Well, prestirpes means by the branch, by the bloodline.
Ah.
It's a Latin term. So what it means is that
that's a lot smarter than share and share alike, isn't it?
Well, what it does, it's not so much that it's smarter, but it goes to the root of the beneficiary.
So if I have a child who doesn't live long enough to benefit from the proceeds, then their children does, but not the children of living children.
Right. In other words, if you put share and share alike, that's like per capita, or what we call by the head.
Right.
And so if you have three children and one of them passes away, the other two are going to share it.
And the children of the one who passed away won't.
Right. But if you put prestirpes, it goes all the way down to your grandchildren.
All right. Spell that for us, folks, because this is a word people are going to be using this all the time now that you've said it on this show. Go ahead and spell that word for us.
Per, P-E-R, stirpes, S-T-R-I-P-E-S.
All right. That's two words.
Two words.
Per, I knew that, folks. I just wanted to know I just wanted to make sure you were paying attention. I knew it was two words. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Rick Pinion.
Oh, how build you kingdom in that house on the hill.
We're back. It's 7:10. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion. Richard Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services out of Bethesda, Maryland. Rick, give us your website, please.
I got two of them. Let me give you, first of all, the financial planning website. It's www.pinionfinancial, one word, pinionfinancial, just like opinion.com. And the other one, in case you're interested,
is that the one where we can find all the tables, all the free calculators to help us with all the different ways, things that we want to pay attention to, compound interest, Social Security, that kind of thing.
Yeah, mortgages, investments.
Lots of free calculators there, folks. Check that out.
And then the other one, which is the other side of my business, which is unrelated, is on the health insurance side, and that's ehealthandlife.com.
Rick, are you planning another seminar, another free seminar anyway soon?
Well, as a matter of fact, I just finished one up this last Saturday.
Okay, so you got when's the next one coming up?
It's going to be sometime in October, and I'll let you know the date.
So let us know. We'll let you know, folks, when that's going to happen, those of you, especially those of you who are listening in the Washington, D.C. area. Rick, let's talk some more about this. What else do we need to know about making sure that our IRAs are set up properly so that they go to the right people? We learned a new word today, didn't we, folks? Or at least you did. I already knew it was prestirpes, but it's actually two words, obviously. Prestirpes, that's the bloodline. It goes with the bloodline. Tell us what else we need to know about this.
Well, there's a term that's very, very important. And for the listeners who are taking notes, you might write down the term inherited IRA. It's such an important term, inherited IRA. It means that if your IRA gets passed to, say, a younger person, they can stretch that money out over their lifetime. So say you've got a grandson who's, let's say, 15, 16 years old, and they're probably going to live another, 70, 80 years.
Right.
They can actually take out a little bit each month as long as they live, which is going to magnify, hopefully, the value of that IRA over their lifetime.
Is that like a do they take an annuity? They buy an annuity? What do they do?
Well, we call it a stretch IRA. So in other words, we look at the table that the IRS has based on life expectancy,
mm-hmm.
and based on how many years the IRS says they're going to live, they can take out a little bit each month.
And does that come out tax-free?
Well, it depends if it's a Roth or a regular IRA.
Okay.
If it's a regular IRA or rollover IRA, then, of course, it's going to be taxable.
It would be taxable because the proceeds and the earnings were not taxable.
Right.
Investment and the earnings were not taxable.
Right.
But a Roth IRA is paid with after-tax dollars, so therefore the earnings and the yield would be not taxable.
Yeah, and that's the reason many people like the Roth IRA as compared to a traditional IRA.
For young people especially.
Yeah, and some people want to convert their IRAs over to a Roth.
But you can't do that after death, right?
No, you can't do it after death. You also can't do it if your adjusted gross income is over $100,000 a year.
Right.
You can't convert.
So a young this 15-year-old grandchild would get the IRA, and maybe they'd get $200 a month for the rest of their life. But those $200, if it were a regular IRA, would be taxable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now what would be the advantage of that as opposed to just taking all the money at once?
Well, think about it. If you're 15 years old and your grandfather has $500,000 IRA,
right,
and you take it all out at one time, first of all, you're going to be taxed on it if it's a regular IRA.
Right.
Second of all, think of all the places that young child can think of putting that money.
Oh, no, I agree with you. But what if it were $100,000 and it was for education?
Well, obviously, yeah, it's a case-by-case basis.
Right.
So, for example, if the child really needed it to pay tuition bills and that sort of thing, they could always take it out sooner. They don't necessarily have to stretch it. It's just an option. They have that freedom.
Right. We've got about a minute. What else do we need to know about this?
I would say as you're planning for your retirement, you need to sit down with a qualified professional and go over this very, very carefully. You need to review all the beneficiary designations on your IRAs as well as your life insurance policy.
Life insurance, yeah.
As well as your 401k.
And, as I think back, Rick, I think there have been times when I said to my estate on a life insurance policy, and that was a mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah. Also, if there's a second marriage, think about this.
Yeah.
If there's a second marriage, that spouse can roll that over.
How many times has an ex-wife become the beneficiary of a death benefit?
Right.
When that was not what was intended.
Right. Or a new wife takes the money, rolls it over, and doesn't leave anything for the children from the original marriage.
Right, right. So you got to pay attention to all this stuff, folks. And and I know, and you mentioned taking notes. They're all taking notes, Rick. They're hanging on your every word out there.
As long as they're not driving.
Hey, Rick, give us your website one more time.
www.pinionfinancial.com.
Pinionfinancial.com. Check it out, folks. It's a really cool site. It's not your grandfather's financial planning website. Thank you, Rick, for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but I got to go for just a little bit for this hour. I'm Jim Lysingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.